Today, we will be talking about the top consumer complaints for 2016. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network, and pleased to have back Sandy Chalmers, Assistant Deputy Secretary with the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Sandy, great to see you.
Nice to be here, Larry.
And Michelle Reinen, Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection within our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Michelle, good to see you as well.
Nice to see you, Larry.
We will be talking about everything. How about romance? We can talk about romance scams. We can talk about fake Amazon sellers. We can talk about debt relief scams and tax ID theft. You may have some consumer questions. I hope you'll join us. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And before we get to romance and romance scams, let's talk about the top 10 list of consumer complaints. And you've got that list out for 2016, Sandy.
Right. And the most complained about issue for Wisconsin consumers in 2016 was telemarketing. And we talk about this so much on this show. We had more than 1,000 more complaints
from 2015.
For 2015, yeah, so a pretty significant increase from year to year. And what we saw when we looked into the numbers was a huge increase in imposter scams. And those are things like the fake IRS calls, the fake Microsoft tech support calls, the fake Medicare calls. So those are things that we've heard a lot about from your listeners. It's really important for people to recognize those imposter callers when they do call, because you can kind of expect it at this point. When they ask for payment, immediate payment usually, by wire transfer or credit card number, or sometimes even an iTunes gift card or Amazon gift card, that's your tip-off to know that it's a scam. And we're seeing more and more of the iTunes or Amazon gift card requests for payment now. Obviously, the IRS does not
pay. They never call.
Yeah, no, they don't call. And they would never ask for immediate payment or payment by wire transfer or iTunes gift card. So that's what we saw in the telemarketing numbers for last year.
Oh, and that we have some other landlord-tenant. The numbers, I don't know if it's a significant decrease, but it went down a little bit. Still, landlord-tenant issues are right up there. Michelle?
Yeah, they are. And we have to remember, you know, more than 1 million people in the state of Wisconsin do rent for their residence type situation. And the issues that are behind that is the security deposit. Is it returned? And if it's returned, is it returned in full, or is there some withholding there? And then the landlord wanting to enter the property while you're living there, whether it be to do an inspection or for some other reason, as well as then the uncomfortable eviction process. You know, it's not working out between the two, and we need to, the landlord needs to dismiss the tenant. And I think some of the best prevention type from getting into these situations that tenants can do is to really, you know, survey the property before they move in and make sure they know what's in the lease and that they can abide by the rules that the landlord puts in place. And then when you move in, take a survey, do that check-in sheet is what it's called, and take a survey of the condition of the property. Document that in writing, in photos as well. And then do the same thing when you move out. If something happens while you're living there, report it to the landlord, so that way the landlord can deal with it and it doesn't get worse, and it could cost the tenant less to deal with it up front than wait till it's going to be withheld from your security deposit if they're responsible for that damage. And then they also need to remember they are renting. A tenant needs to remember they are renting, and a landlord owns this property, and they do have a right to inspect it and make sure that it's being maintained and in good condition because it's their investment. So a landlord has a right to entry, but they need to give the tenant notice, and that's a 12-hour notice. It can be shorter if there's an emergency or health issue that's, you know, so if they see smoke or water pouring out of the place, they can get in there. And so really communicate. I mean, the landlord needs to give that notice, but maybe that time doesn't work for the tenant, and talk to the landlord about that and just be open in your communication.
Well, we can talk about more of these as we go along through the show. In the meantime, I think, well, we've certainly got eight more to do. To talk about. They're probably going to come up as we talk with people today. So let's take some calls. You can join in, by the way, 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Maureen and Ripon up first. Maureen, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My scammed problem.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. There's a popular purse item that I wanted to get. And so I went online and looked at different sites, and I thought, oh, this looks great. Well, it should have been a red flag because there was no 800 number or any number to call if I had any issues, only an email address. Well, I gave them my credit card number and been waiting forever, no, 2 weeks, and have nothing. I sent them an email, where is my items? And nothing. And my husband said, I'll check this out. I didn't. And he did, and there was a red flag. And this company is based in the United States, but basically in China.
Yeah.
Yes. What is my, I'm sure I've been, they said contact us after 2 weeks. I did. No email return. What should I do?
First thing, I'd look at my credit card report. Michelle, is that a good first thing?
That's where I'd start as well. I mean, if you haven't been charged on your credit card statement yet, contact your credit card company and let them know and follow the dispute process there, because you never received the goods that you were charged for or will be charged for. So see if that charge has posted. And if the charge hasn't posted, you have given out your credit card information to potentially an unknown source. So you want to talk to your credit card company about that as well, because maybe you want to
issue a
change,
new card.
Yeah, have a new card issued.
That's what I told my husband, too. But he said, well, let's just wait. And I thought, I don't want to.
No, I wouldn't wait.
Yeah. Okay, and then how do I report this as a possible scam so that others might not be taken and duped into this company?
You should file a complaint with us at datcp.wi.gov. Or if you'd prefer to talk to somebody, you can call our toll-free hotline number, and that's 1-800-422-7128. And I think it's worth mentioning here that a lot of these fraudulent operations do try, you know, look like they sell desirable products at very cheap prices, you know, as a front to get your personal information.
Right.
So we always recommend when you're shopping, if there's no contact information on the website, just move on to something else and stick with a well-known retailer.
Right.
Because there's just so much fraud out there.
Yeah, that's right. What about, Maureen said she had her husband check it out online and there was a red flag. How do you go about checking that out?
Well, if you're shopping for an item and you're on the website, you can look for contact information, a physical address. If there's no physical address, that would make it very difficult for you to track them down if there was a problem. So she said she noticed that there wasn't a phone number. But I think that's the most important thing. Look for a physical address and contact information.
Okay. Maureen, thank you so much. And get on it, get hold of your credit card company, and let's move on. And speaking of moving on, we'll go to Doug in Stevens Point. Hi, Doug.
Hi. I actually have two things. One, I heard on a different radio station today, on the news, they said something about watch out for advertisements for a job of shipping things from your house, because there's apparently a fake company out there where people are stealing things and then shipping them out through someone else's house as a cover so that way they're not caught with stolen goods. That was one thing. The other thing was my grandma about 2 years ago received a call and saying that I was in a lot of trouble and that I owed like $1,000 and that she needed to pay for me to, I don't know if it was to get out of jail or something like that. Well, she didn't believe them. She hung up with them, and then she immediately called me and asked me what was going on. And I was like, what do you mean? What's going on? I had no clue of what she was talking about. I was with my wife and daughter, and everything was fine. So those two different scams, I guess.
Okay. Thanks a lot for calling, Doug. And the second one, for sure, is one we've had before. Doug came out of this, or Doug's grandmother came out of this okay. Others haven't.
Yeah, we began the show by talking about imposter scams, and the grandma scam, as we call it, is probably the most cynical imposter scam of all, where somebody pretends to be a grandchild in trouble, and, you know, it really tugs at a grandparent's heartstrings to think that a grandchild might be in danger or trouble of some kind. So Michelle has information about the job shipping things.
Yeah, there was I know the story that he heard is from a local sheriff's, local to Madison area. A sheriff's department knows of a victim who got involved with the shipping scam where it was kind of a work from home, and you will receive products and goods and then turn around and have to reship them. And so a job opportunity that doesn't have this payment behind it, but you have to put investment into it as well. And then you also have to be careful about what you're being asked to reship if you go too deep into these shipping scams as well. So Consumer Protection has a fact sheet on different things to look for as it relates to some of the job scams, fake jobs that are out there, because we see it as well with college students trying to go get different kinds of travel or tourism type positions. We have mystery shopper type positions that are out there, too good to be true, envelope stuffing situations, and all these work from home type jobs where it's not clear what you'll be making, what investment you have to make, and how you'll even get paid or what you'll have to do. And often the consumer, the one taking the job, is the one losing the money.
How do you get that piece of information?
Yeah, you can go on our website. That's AnnieGaveDATCP.WI.gov, and it'll be under our publications information. We have hundreds of fact sheets. Or you can call the hotline, 1-800-422-7128, and someone can email it or mail it out to you.
All right, there we go. Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, our guests today. Again, join in at 1-800-642-1234. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our producer today here on the Ideas Network. Coming up at 1 o'clock today, Kathleen Dunn talks to the author of a new book about George Washington's farewell address and how the speech foreshadowed a series of fears that have largely come through. That's at 1. Right now, taking a look at consumer scams with our two guests, Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers. And we'll turn back to the phones and to Donna in Madison next. Donna, hi, thank you for calling.
Thanks. I have a question because, like everybody else, you get all the automated calls, you know, refinance your mortgage and extend your auto warranty and the rest of it. And I usually just hang up. And then, of course, the next day they call back and the next day they call back. Then I listened to one the other day, and it actually said press 9 or 7 or whatever if you want to be taken off our list. And I thought, okay, and just for kicks and giggles, I did it. That number has not showed up. That recording has not showed back up since I did it. So I'm wondering if this is actually something that is valid and worthwhile continuing to do.
Huh. What do you think? It may be, but there's also the opportunity for skullduggery there, I think we might say.
Well, a couple of things might be happening. If your phone number is not on the do not call list. It may be a legitimate company calling you, as they would have the right to do, and it may be a legitimate request. But what we've seen a lot more of is that it is not a legitimate company. They're fishing for information about you, and when you press that number, the computer that's behind these calls has now identified your phone number as a live number, and you're probably going to end up getting a lot more phone calls. So one of the things that we recommend is that when you get one of those automated phone calls, don't interact in any way. When you're prompted to press a number to be removed from a list or to talk to a live person, don't do it. Just hang up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Donna. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Colleen in Greenleaf, it's your turn. Hi, Colleen.
Hi. I have a month-to-month lease, and I'm wondering if there's any rules about how or when they can increase the rent.
Okay. Is there a 30-day or something like that, Michelle?
A 28-day notice. So you're on a month-to-month. They need to give you the same amount of notice of an increase as you need to give in order to terminate your tenancy. So your month-to-month, they need to give you 28 days minimum notice. They can give you more, but they at minimum need to give you 28 days notice.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And Mary in Pewaukee, your turn. Hi, Mary.
Yes, good morning. What happened with us is we were on a cruise, and a company had an art show with free champagne, and of course, it kind of makes you want to buy things. We did purchase, some artwork, and then it would be sent to the home. The problem was, as soon as we got home, we found a whole bunch of negative things and bad, bitter Business Bureau rating and things like that. So when the artwork came, one item, I was able to see the driver and refuse it, and the other two items we had here, and then we just sent back, not after we received our $4,000 bill for things that, we did order and we did want, but after reading, which you have no internet use in the ocean.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of a warning to others that if you can't check somebody out prior to purchasing anything, buyer beware.
Yeah, that's probably good advice, isn't it, Michelle?
It is. It's kind of one of our summary takeaways from the top 10 of pretty much every year, which is if it's too good to be true, it probably is, as well as if there's high pressure or they're playing on your emotion or whatever, minimizing a sensitivity, you become more vulnerable and relaxed. Those are times to actually probably ramp up your guard rather than lower your guard as to what it is you're about to do.
Yeah, lesson learned. Thank you very much for calling. I remember being in the Minneapolis airport once, and there were some well-known wildlife photographers' photos, and you could purchase them there. And I thought, you know what, I'm not going to do that. So but I really liked them. So I went home and wrote down the author or the person who had taken the photos, and went to his website. And in fact, that was a legitimate at the airport. But I went back home, and then I ordered via email, via the website.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably a better way to do it if you're... it also gives you a little bit of time to think about whether or not you really want to do it.
Right.
So, good points there. Carlene in Brooklyn, thank you for calling.
Hi. Hi there.
Hi.
I think while my question was being taken, you were actually answering it about the automated phone calls for warranties and problems with your credit card.
Yes.
So I've been getting a lot of those back-to-back. I usually press star 69 and hang up. Should I not even be pressing star 69? Because I think I'm blocking it, and then I get a call, same thing from a different number 15 minutes later. They're Arizona, Alaska, Tennessee. It's all over the country.
Yeah, I get those too. I never answer them, and I'll just delete them.
Well, star 69 will block the number that the call came in on. But remember, mm-hmm. these fraudulent companies or operations use a number of different phone numbers that they appear to be calling from, and that's one of their their tactics they use. They manipulate your caller ID to make it look like a variety of numbers or maybe a local number. So there's nothing wrong with doing star 69 or whatever your carrier's command is to block a phone number, but that won't stop the calls from coming. And we have seen an uptick lately in the number of calls offering these extended auto warranties. Warranties actually made the top 10 list this year for the first time ever, as far as I know.
No, number 10.
It came in at number 10, and that is specifically because of these mailers that people are getting offering extended warranties. And just remember, when you get those, they're almost always third parties offering something that's, it's not an extension of your manufacturer's warranty. It's more like a service contract of some kind on your car. Some of these companies are legitimate. Many are fraudulent. So buyer beware when it comes to auto warranties.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling, Carlene. Appreciate your call very much. Well, we have some other call, some other emails coming in, too. Carol emailed to ask if Credit Karma is a legitimate company. She's seen a lot of ads for Credit Karma. And I don't know anything about Credit Karma, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I've seen those ads as well, and I believe that they're legitimate, but you could always call us to see if there's been complaints and look online as well and put, you know, complaint behind it or scam. But reading the fine print, really making sure they have a physical location by the information that they post are good things. But knowing what Credit Karma does for your credit history and credit report and researching, that's important. I believe Credit Karma, you know, gives you a credit score. And what we talk about most of the time in protecting your identity is either putting a credit freeze or alert on, a fraud alert on your credit information, and checking your free credit report through the annualcreditreport.com website, which is free to you under the federal law. So that's different than services offered by Credit Karma and things you can do for by yourself without hiring a company.
Yeah, that's good points.
A lot of credit cards now offer you a free credit score several times a year. So that's something also to check on before you pay a company like Credit Karma to do that for you.
Yeah, actually, I'm a member of the credit union, a local credit union, and I have my credit score. They post that, or I can go look it up on my own, in my own account anytime I want to, which is nice. Richard in Madison, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi, how are you all doing?
Great, appreciate the call. What's on your mind today?
Well, a couple things. One is, one of the first callers talked about being scammed, you know, by a low price on the internet. And what I do whenever I see a deal that looks too good to be true is I just put in a search engine, I just put in the name of that company and follow it by either scams or complaints. And it'll take you to any number of different sites that will either say, this company's a fraud, they took my money, or no, they're a legitimate company, or no complaints. So it's a very easy way to, within a few seconds, check out a company to see if they're fraudulent or not. And the other thing was just this last caller with Credit Karma. I've been a member of Credit Karma for about a year now. As far as I know, they're a legitimate company. You can just, it doesn't cost anything. You just sign up and they will give you a credit report from the three rating agencies, Experian, and I forget the other two, Transamerica. And it's actually a very nice service and it's free. So I've been.
So you've had good luck with it. All right. Thanks very much for calling, Richard. You can join in too, 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. A couple of more emails here. Here's one on Facebook. Chris on Facebook asks if an outside person can file a complaint for someone who cannot because they are in some kind of disenfranchisement or danger. So let's say, you know, here's a potential. Say somebody who doesn't want their ex-spouse to know where they're living for some reason that could, you know, be dangerous for the person. That's the example that comes to my mind.
Yeah, it's hard to know without more details. When I hear the word danger, I think maybe they should get in touch with law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have, for instance, I'm thinking of people with an elderly parent who may be failing, and they're concerned about this person being vulnerable to callers who ask for credit card information and things like that. In some cases, you'll need to talk to an attorney, but if you know of somebody who needs our help, give us a call and we will help you work through it.
Yeah, and the number 1-800-422-7128, that's the number again to use?
Right.
Okay. Well, let's see. We've got Keith in Eau Claire says he's received a number of phishing attempts, emails asking him to contact UPS or FedEx about a package they can't deliver. It's clearly a scam to him, but with many people expecting deliveries of something, this is one that could trip you up.
Yeah, you know, I've gotten several of those emails as well, and a couple of years ago, that's something that we used to warn about pre-holidays, as people were ordering their Christmas gifts, yeah. And you would expect to have a lot of things arriving at your house. It's interesting that the emails I received were after the holidays, so scammers now know that there's a lot of stuff being exchanged,
yeah,
after the holidays, so
sure,
they're taking advantage of that. Yeah, that is a scam, and a lot of times when you receive those emails, they'll ask you to click on a link or on an attachment that will download malicious software onto your computer or your device. So anytime you receive an unexpected email like that, really use caution in clicking anything, because that's become a very, very common problem. And, you know, as we think about identity theft, that's one of the most common ways that identity thieves get personal information, is because we are clicking attachments and downloading malicious software onto our devices.
And identity theft is number 4, isn't it, on your list of top 10 consumer complaints?
Yeah, identity theft complaints actually decreased this year, and we've had an upward trend for several years now. So that was surprising. But what we see there as we look deeper into the numbers is that the number of tax ID theft complaints has dropped. And IRS, over the last year or so, have implemented a number of anti-fraud measures at the federal level, and that's probably responsible, at least in part, for the decrease here.
And we hope a little consumer education,
yeah,
has played a role, too.
We've worked hard at that, too. But remember, at the same time, the number of people impacted by data breaches has increased significantly.
Okay.
So that is continuing. So stay vigilant. Keep monitoring your credit reports and monthly statements, because it continues to be a significant problem in this country.
June in Cottage Grove has something for us. Hi, June. Thank you for calling.
Hi. My friend's husband's funeral was last week Friday, and he had been in a nursing home, and he was 91. And I was visiting her on Tuesday, and someone called and gave a name and mentioned that her husband had been in a carpenter's union years ago, and he was representing the carpenter's union, and that she should call him as soon as possible because he wanted to deliver a Bible. And she said that he had called her 3 times since last Friday, her husband's funeral.
Oh.
And I called AFSCME because I couldn't find a number for the carpenter's union, and I just left that message. But, you know, I wanted to let them know that that was occurring. And I think that must be a scam.
The information that is posted online in obituaries is like a data mine for crooks. And I don't know whether this is legitimate or not. We really have no way of knowing. But anybody who is in a situation where they have a family member who has passed away and family information is posted in an obituary, be on guard. Because this is a situation where she may have allowed somebody to come into her home not knowing who it really was.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that June is being vigilant on behalf of her friend.
Yeah, thank
well,
you.
I did want to say that she also had a 3-page letter which she did not understand, and I read through it, and it was asking her to sign up for an identity theft service, but it was like 3 pages. And I also thought, you know, that was an odd thing. She's not on a computer. She's, anyway.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling, and that hopefully that'll alert others as well. Thank you, June.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Esther in Garys Lake, Illinois. On to you now. Hi, Esther.
Hi. Someone had a question earlier about whether or not to the Credit Karma.
Yeah.
A service was a legitimate service or not, and I just wanted to add that I've used it since it first came, you know, to be. I think it's probably 4 or 5 years even, and I have it as an app on my smartphone, and it's very handy. There's no fees or anything, and it gives you an estimate of what your credit score is and any changes that are taking place on your credit report. So it kind of, like I said, very, very simple, and it just gives you an idea, because I think the number is not exactly accurate, but whether it's going up or down, and if there's any activity, that it will alert you. So it's very handy.
Okay.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of interest. People are very interested in what their credit scores are because it seems to impact us in so many ways. We had an earlier caller who said type in the name of a company and then the word scam or reviews or complaints, and you can get a feeling for other people's experiences with the company. Sometimes it's also a good idea to type in a company name and then the letters FTC for Federal Trade Commission, and that will give you information on federal action that may have taken place against a company. And the reason I bring this up is that some of these credit score, credit report related companies have had federal action taken against them for not protecting adequately the personal information of consumers.
Okay, so that could be an issue as well. Thank you, Esther, for calling. Appreciate your call. John in Madison, we're on to you now. Hi, John.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to kind of relate something that happened to one of my daughters. A few years ago, she was involved in a secret shopper thing through the Internet. And they sent her some money. They told her which stores to go to. She went and she bought a few items, not very expensive items. She filled out a report about the, you know, were the people in the store friendly and helpful and all that kind of stuff. And then they sent her a postal money order for $2,100. She was supposed to cash the money order and send the majority of it, actually, back or send it to somebody. I don't remember exactly how that part went. But anyway, she came to me with it and said, you know, what do you think about this? And I took it to our bank and showed it to one of the bank officers. She looked at it, she said, it sure looks real to me, but she said, take it to the post office. So I took it to the post office, and the postmaster, where I took it, looked at it for a while, and she said, this is a really good forgery.
Mm.
She said, it looks real. She said, there's only one thing. There's a some kind of a metallic strip that they put into postal money orders that the post office does, and the strip in this one was, it had little holes in it or something. I don't exactly remember now.
This is a little off.
It was a little off, and she could see it. But to anybody else, it looked real. And so if my daughter would have tried to cash it, well, she'd either I don't know what would have happened exactly. But anyway.
I think Michelle can tell you what would have happened. Thank you for bringing it up. Michelle?
Yeah, what would have happened is you would have sent that money that you were asked to send back to whomever it was. And when you cashed your money order, it would have not cleared. And you would have been out the money for the goods you purchased doing the secret shopper work, out the money that you turned around and sent back to whomever it was, and probably had an overdraft potentially fee because you cashed a money order that didn't have any value to it, and depending on where your own bank account's at. So you would be responsible for that amount of money with the bank. And it would take 2-3 weeks for the check, the money order, to not clear as well. So everything would have been done. You wouldn't have been able to stop payment on what you had sent to the person. That's pretty much a good classic story of exactly how a secret shopper scam can work. There are legitimate mystery shopper, secret shopper programs run with particular businesses, but as a general entity, we see it a lot of scams out there when you don't know exactly who you're working with or for.
Oh, thanks for bringing that up, John.
The post office kept all of that paperwork because they said they keep a file on those things, and hopefully down the road they can gather enough to maybe catch or prosecute somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. We work with the United States Postal Inspection Service on a number of our cases because if the transactions are happening through the mail, they get involved in those, and especially if they're impersonating the Postal Service in any way, in even a money order aspect. They're going to be very interested in that.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Another John in Wausau has something for us. Hi, John.
Hello?
Yes, John. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
I've had an interesting one that I haven't heard of before. I'm in the process of selling a car, and I posted that car out on cars.com and Craigslist, and all of a sudden, it's happened to me 3 times now. I've gotten 3 different sets of emails where somebody is interested in my car. And it's always a name that is in my local area. When I get the email, it'll be a female account. And I check the name, and sure enough, Edna Marquardt is in the area. And so I respond to the email, and Edna wants more information. I get send her more information. Usually after about 3 emails back and forth, the person wants a Carfax report. When I say I don't have a Carfax report, they say, well, I know of this site that's like half the cost of Carfax, and you can use their site, and I would, if we work out a deal, I would reimburse you the cost of that report. At which point I say that I'm not interested in doing commerce with a site that I'm not familiar with, and lo and behold, I never hear from the person again.
Yeah. So another little potential scam, Sandy.
Yeah, these online classified ad scams can be pretty sophisticated, mm-hmm. like this one is. And because there's so much money involved, you think of the price of a car,
yeah.
they're willing to sink some time and energy into, you know, stringing you along for a while. We recommend before you do any kind of transaction on Craigslist or a cars.com classified ad site, check their FAQs, or they usually have a page on fraud, and educate yourself so you know what to look for. And you were great in picking up on this right away, but unfortunately some people don't catch on until it's too late, and we've heard from people who've lost tens of thousands of dollars this way.
Oh. Thank you so much for calling, John. Appreciate your call. Visiting today with Michelle Reinen, Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection, and Sandy Chalmers, Assistant Deputy Secretary, both with the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. I'm Larry Mueller. Here on the Ideas Network, you can join in too, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network as we visit about consumer scams with Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers from the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Stephen Madison emailed to ask how secure PayPal is for purchasing. Will they guarantee that he's not getting scammed? And then a second question, also, if he buys things from Europe and has problems, will the or can the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection help him? So a couple of questions there. First, let's take PayPal. I don't think PayPal will guarantee that. Will they send, Michelle?
I don't believe that they do, and you'll want to contact PayPal and figure out and ask them all the questions and really understand what their policies are behind it. But it's my understanding that no, they don't. I mean, they're not regulated like credit card companies and things are in that nature as far as, you know, filing disputes and those if charged illegally on your credit card.
And if I bought something from XYZ company in someplace in Europe, am I going to get some help from you guys?
Well, we'll certainly try to help. You know, if there's a means of someone to contact, it's important for us to know about it. Working with our federal partners, we report and communicate with the Federal Trade Commission, and they may then have interactions with whatever part of Europe this is happening with, and we can see if it's, you know, a legitimate issue or not. But how did you do this transaction as well is if it was with your credit card, you may have protections under your credit card company and want to hit them up as well with filing, going through their dispute process because they may be able to reverse the charges.
Mike in Coon Valley has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Mike.
Hello. I order hardware from Norway for my business, and every time it gets the USA, customs brokerage service or something on that order snags it and demands that I pay a fee to get it. And there's always somebody different. It's never been the same company that I can recall ever. And I don't get it very, you know, maybe twice a year I'll get I'll order some hardware. And the last one that I got, they were trying to charge me a customs fee that was almost as much as the value of the contents of the box. So I challenged it. You know, I said, where are you coming up with this number, this figure? And he gave me this runaround. I mean, I need to know what is in the box, and then I charge a certain percentage of the value that way. And he started dropping the price, and none of the prices that he gave me correlated with what the value of the box was and what he was telling me he was using for a formula. I did contact the BBB. I mean, he had the emails they were kind of sending me had a street address in New York, and they could not locate any office at that place. And so they finally, you know, they sent me a picture of the box. They had my box. And so they finally dropped the price down enough where I said, "Heck, I'm going to pay it because it was, you know, more reasonable." But, you know, if I wouldn't have been, you know, doing it all myself, if someone gets this bill for this customs fee and they just, well, we got to pay that because we know we got a shipment coming in. What can I do to protect myself on this?
Yeah, I'd want to do a little more research on that. Would it be the Federal Trade Commission, Sandy, or who would it be that you would?
It's really hard to know based on the information he's given us whether this is on the Norwegian side. I would assume it's on our side.
In New York. Someone in New York grabs it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it could be the U.S. Customs Service or the Federal Trade Commission. If you'd like to file a complaint with us, we'd help you work through that with our federal partners.
It's never the Customs Service. It's a brokerage firm that grabs it. And how do they get a hold of it?
There may be regulations as it relates to importing goods or purchasing goods that then customs does regulate. And if you don't have a regular broker you're working with, they may be up for scramble. I mean, it's just not our area of expertise or authority. And so we are scrambling a bit here, but in trying to think to problem solve. So,
but if you filed a complaint and listed the names of the or whatever brokerage firm, just take the last one, for example, you could maybe make some contacts at the federal level.
Yeah, and send us any contracts or agreements you have with this company, if any, and that would help us track it down.
Okay.
I really don't have anything with the company, nor actually we were there like 7 years ago and I bought direct from them. I've been ordering for quite quite a few years, and I've contacted them through email that, you know, the this brokerage company has it, and they don't know anything about it.
Yeah. Well, something seems a little fishy. I would definitely file a complaint, and you can get a complaint form. How do you get a complaint
form? You can get a complaint form online at datcp.gov, or you can just file your complaint online. There's an online form you can use. If you'd prefer to, you can call our toll-free hotline number. That's 1-800-422-7128 and ask to have a complaint form mailed to you.
Yeah, that's probably the best. 1-800-422-7128 or datcp.wi.gov, places to go. Good luck, Mike. Thank you very much for calling. If I were you, I'd follow up on this, Mike. So, good luck. Mary in Milwaukee up next. Mary, hello to you.
Hi, this is Mary. I just have a quick comment and maybe a question. 26 years ago, I was living in the New York, New Jersey area and renting, and I had a bunch of utilities in my name. And about a year and a half ago, I sold some properties here in the Milwaukee area. And very shortly afterwards, I started receiving calls from what appeared to be New York and New Jersey telephone numbers, supposedly real estate companies who wanted to represent me in selling my property in New Jersey. And they identified the address as a place that I rented, like I said, over 26 years ago, and they tried to use both my maiden name, my married name, and the former landlord's last name, like Fishing. And I hung up on them, and I tried to call the numbers back, and my niece who worked at Yahoo did some research, and they were node numbers that were going back to Russia and to Cyprus.
Yeah.
I called the police in New Jersey. Nothing happened. And then the funny thing is, about 3 weeks ago, I sold another piece of real estate here in Milwaukee, and the phone call started again with the same address. And I didn't know if I should be concerned that somebody has my information, that they're somehow trying to tie me to a piece of real estate in another state that I've never owned.
Yeah.
And I'll take any comments off the air. The phone.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, if you've ever Googled yourself, it's quite an experience because it is amazing the amount of information that is online about you and places you've lived, your age, addresses, family members. You know, so it's not difficult at all for somebody to look at where you were 26 years ago and an address and make the connection that you may have own that property and maybe wanting to sell. What we can't figure out is how it's connected to your sale of property. That would be recorded at the county level and maybe sold, or there's a way to mine that data by these crooks. But what I would advise is to not engage in any way with these people if they continue calling you. And it sounds like you did the right thing by reporting them to law enforcement.
Yeah.
And as you said, they're most likely from overseas anyway.
Sally in Adams, Wisconsin. Hello to you.
Hello. I don't know if my question is has to do with what your guest has, but I have a friend, and she let her son, her adolescent son, use the cell phone to play some games on it. Well, then all of a sudden a person comes through and talks to them and says, well, you owe this much. Go get your parents' credit card and start paying up and everything like that. So much so that he believed it, and they're now at a tune of, like, owing way too many $1,000 to this for this. And I was just curious if you have any advice on who they could contact to get through this.
Yeah. Well, that sounds insidious. Michelle?
Yeah. So one thought is that the app that was downloaded to play this game, the gaming app, might not be one that's normal and legitimate and has all the features in it to turn off in-game purchases and the security features that often go with legitimate apps, and that this app has been collecting information, GPS information, and anything that's going and happening in the use of the phone. So now they're tracking back and making contact for money. So I would file a complaint about this situation. Give us as much as you can. If nothing else, we'll be sure we're communicating it to the Federal Trade Commission for tracking and monitoring that way. But what's the app called, and look at it in that direction.
Okay. So
I'd likely get the app off the phone after you give us the information about it.
Okay. And at that number,
1-800-422-7128.
Okay, 7128. Okay, thank you very much, because I after I heard her story, and I was just so surprised by it, I just wanted to see if I could get any help for her.
Well, right, and if the person is making contact as well, you know, the other thing is, if you think I owe you money, put it in writing and send it to me, and you don't give them any of your information when they say, oh, well, where should I send it? Well, if I owe you money, you know where I'm at. So making sure you're getting it in writing, and then that will also help. And if there is something truly delivered, it's something to track back on.
There we go. Thank you so much. Facebook, Josh wonders about the Iraqi dinars. Some of his coworkers think they're going to make a lot of money on this, and they've invested thousands of dollars into it. I think they're being taken for a ride, and we'll find out what our guests have to say, Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers, right after this look at the news, and we'll be back with them shortly. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking consumer scams today with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen, both of the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Michelle directs the Bureau, and Sandy Chalmers, Assistant Deputy Secretary with the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. So always great to have them come by. They come by once a month. Next time they'll be on March 2nd. I'll mention that now and probably again. But lots of callers with comments and questions and concerns, and some emails as well. The email address, talk@WPR.org. Phone at 1-800-642-1234. And you can post a question or comment on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. And just as we broke for news, we had Josh on Facebook wondering about the Iraqi dinar. Some of his coworkers think that it's going to make them rich overnight, and they've invested thousands into it. I think they're being taken for a ride. Any thoughts from you? And Sandy, you want to take that?
I did some quick research over the news break, and I saw that the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission has filed a complaint against someone for a dinar scheme, he's been accused of swindling potential investors. So I don't know whether this is the case, but he may encourage his friends to look at the Securities and Exchange Commission website and check out whether they have any standing to file a complaint, or just do some research on the person that they've been using to invest money.
All right. That makes very good sense. So SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission. Bill in North Hudson up next. Hi, Bill.
Hi. Great show, guys. Hey, just to tag on to the PayPal thing that you talked about a while ago, I've received numerous emails probably over the last couple of years. I marked them as spam and phishing scams, but they claim that your international PayPal account is going to be closed down if you don't go in and log in and make some adjustments or answer some questions. I've never gone into it. I've gone directly to my PayPal account on the PayPal website, and there's nothing on there relating to the international thing that they're talking about. So I just wanted to put that out there just as a heads up. Maybe you can alert people if they call about PayPal.
Yeah, good point. Michelle?
Yeah, that's a good example of an email that is trying to imitate a legitimate entity that holds some personal information or access to accounts and records that you have. I mean, PayPal people do transactions through there and keep a balance often. Some load just the amount they're going to need for whatever they're purchasing, but some maintain a balance. And this email is likely... then linking to something else that continues to look like PayPal, and it's just sitting there collecting your information. So what Bill did in this case by going to his PayPal account using his connections, not the links in the email, to look at it further was a perfect example of what should be done. Use your original source information and don't click on the links in these emails.
Yeah,
this is a scam that we call phishing. And a lot of times you'll get emails from legitimate looking companies, and sometimes they use bank names. It may even be your own bank name. But anytime you receive an email that prompts you to click on a link or enter personal information, stop right there because it is most likely a scam.
Yeah. Thanks again, Bill, for calling. Appreciate it. Bob in Franklin, your turn now. Hi, Bob.
Call you back.
Bob, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I happen to be a landlord, and one of the issues that I've had is when people move out, they leave things behind. Now, I think the rules have changed, but I really don't know what they are as far as what I can do with that property.
Good question, Michelle Reinen.
Yeah, he's right. The rules have changed. So before you had to post it for sale and do notification before you could remove it and hold it for so long, and that still exists. But there are alternatives. If your written lease agreement says that you're going to just be getting rid of property and what you're going to be doing with it, and this is except for medical type of medicine and that kind of things, if those are left behind. But if you have it in writing and disclosed to the tenant up front in the lease, you can do different things with it. You don't have to hold it and do the notification. In the absence of that, you have to do the other. So really, to make this easier for you, Bob, I'm going to promote our landlord-tenant guide right now, and it's about a 14-page document that helps break this down in plain language for you, and you'll also get a copy of the law. You can go online and download it at datcp.wi.gov. It's called the Landlord-Tenant Guide, or you can call 1-800-422-7128, and they'll mail a copy out to you.
Now, what was my next question? Is that built into the standard lease forms that you get when you buy the forms?
That I don't know. You'll need to work with that company that you work with about those lease forms, or talk to your attorney about that to see and have them review that for you.
May or may not.
Yeah,
I was afraid of that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Appreciate the call. Matt in Helenville, your turn. Hi, Matt.
How are you?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a business credit card. I'm a small business owner. I have 4 employees, including myself. Anyway, I ordered a credit card for each of my employees with their name on it. All the cards are the same number.
Okay.
BP won't even send me a statement showing who buys what because they're all the same number. Anyway, my son, who worked for me, was buying a home, and his banker said to him, "Why do you have this credit card on your credit report?" My credit card ended up on his credit report. And the only information I ever gave BP was his name. When I called BP and asked them about it, they couldn't really explain how my credit card ended up on his credit report. I thought that was pretty scary.
Yeah. Michelle, you want to comment?
So your son should contact the credit reporting agency that he received that report from and challenge that. There's a process that they have. If they don't make the adjustment or give a reasonable explanation that's actually allowed by law type situation, you should file a complaint, because credit reports do sometimes have information that isn't aligned properly, and that could be because if names are similar or numbers are one-off or something.
No, he's actually, it's my stepson, so he's got a totally different name.
Yeah, and so, but there was one issued in his name, but it shouldn't count against a credit. So they do need to provide an explanation for that, and it just needs to be allowed in standing. And if not, then file a complaint with our agency, and then we can contact as well.
Yeah, I was just curious how, just with his name, a guy by the name of Will Carlson, mm-hmm. you know, pretty common name, how they possibly could have found him. Obviously, they found his Social Security number, where he lives, all that kind of information just from his name.
Yeah.
I gave them no other information but send me a card with this name on it, send me a card with that name on it, send me a card with this name on it. All the same credit card number. I didn't apply for one.
Yeah.
I didn't send them any other information but his name.
Yeah. That's strange.
Yeah, I can't answer that, but that's an example of why it's really good to make sure that you are accessing your annual credit report once a year from each of the three credit reporting agencies to see what's being posted on there and make sure that it belongs on there. Because this is a case where, yes, he does hold the card, but it's not his,
his card.
Yeah, a responsibility that way. But annualcreditreport.com, you can get the one or all three of those once a year. Or you can call 1-877-322-8228. Mm-hmm. No, you will have to give your Social Security number in order to get those. I know we say to hang on to that pretty close, but this is one of those times when you'll have to turn that information over.
All right. Good luck. Thank you very much for calling, Matt. Appreciate it. Michael in Green Bay up next. Hi, Michael. Thank you for calling.
Hi. So this is about Craigslist and matchmaking, and what can I say about Craigslist? That is just, it's pretty bad in so many ways. But overseas, say a guy wants to meet a girl, and she's from Ukraine. And what's happening, I haven't proved it yet, but what's happening, their scam, is a translating company. They'll put a person, a fake ID or a person online, and you start communicating with them. And then eventually they say that because they don't speak English, you have to work through the translator. And before you know it, they want you to send them money to continue on this communication, when in fact you're never really communicating with the person that's on Craigslist. That's just a company trying to get money out of you. And ultimately, at the end of the day, I know what they're doing, and I antagonize these people because I stand against what they're doing, and I spend more time trying to catch them in lies. And at the end of it all, you know, I call them out on it, and then I tell them, I said, take that posting down, or I'm contacting the feds, and blah, blah, blah. And right away, that ad will come down. So it's. I just wonder how many people fall into this, that they're paying money to translating companies, and they're never really communicating with the human being that they think that they're communicating with. So,
oh. Well, that's one I haven't heard before, Sandy Chalmers.
I have not heard of that one either, but it's another good example of kind of a complex variation on a Craigslist scam. My concern is that he may have given his credit card number or other personal information to this quote-unquote translating company. So this is a situation where he'll want to go to annualcreditreport.com and check his credit reports to make sure nobody has opened a line of credit using his name. Make sure he checks his monthly credit card statements to make sure he doesn't see unauthorized charges going forward. And if necessary, have his credit card company issue a new credit card to him.
Yeah. All right. Good thoughts. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Joan emailed to say that she received a phone call from a person identifying herself as being with her new insurance company, wanting to explain the new benefits. I do have a new insurance company. She wanted me to verify my birth date before she would talk to me. I gave her my month and day, but told her that she would have the year on file. She wouldn't go any further with the call and said that I could check on the website and verify that she called. I felt bad because I mistrusted her, but how much information is safe to give out? Will a birth date give them access to something else?
Well, this is funny. We go out and do education for both consumers and businesses, and this has come up with the business education side of it. Well, we call and we want the person we're calling to verify because we want to speak to them, but we can't talk to them unless we know we're really talking to them. And we're on the other side telling consumers don't give out anything. And so I wouldn't feel bad about not trusting. I did it yesterday. Someone said, "Hey, is this Michelle?" But there's a new phone scam out there on saying yes. And I'm like, "Who's calling, please?" And it was someone I needed to talk to. And I felt pretty rude about it. But people will understand if you're protecting your information, especially an insurance company or an insurance salesperson. They should applaud you for doing that. And you can make an appointment through the office as to what time you can call and have everything. There are ways around this to make sure you're talking to the right person.
Wow.
Yeah, and the birth date is very valuable information to an identity thief, so she's right to guard that very carefully also.
Mark in Viroqua, it's your turn. Thanks for calling, Mark.
Hey, Larry and guests. I wanted to thank you for giving your guests this platform for sharing all this information, because from being a regular listener, I was able to be forewarned of a couple of different times. My mother got a call, and they said, you know, it's the grandson, and he's been in an accident, and he hurt his jaw and needs money sent to a lawyer, and she immediately doubted it. And because I listened to you guys, I said, yeah, Grandma, don't call them back.
Good.
You know, and then later on, she got another phone call, and they just go, Grandma. And she said, I don't have any grandkids, and hung up. And then we were trying to sell something on a local message board and got a couple of people who wanted to mail us a check that was over the amount. And then we could send them money to their friend's doctor because their dad's been in an accident and all this stuff. And we actually had a lot of fun kind of playing them around for a while. And they would call and say, did you put the money in the bank yet? And we're like, oh, we're in a snowstorm. And boy, and we said, we can't wait to get this money because our furnace is out. So we were trying to tug at their heartstrings a little bit on the other end. But yeah, I think it's great that everybody knows what's out there so they can steer clear of it.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for the kind words that our guests do every day. Although I would warn you, this is from the show once, somebody was doing this kind of playing along with somebody, and they got into kind of a verbal argument on the phone, and then the local police showed up at this person's home because that person on the other end had called the police department and said there was an altercation or something at the home. So they had to explain. Remember that, Sandy?
I do. Yeah, and I appreciate his comments a lot. And we do take a lot of time and spend a lot of resources on educating consumers about the nature of fraud today, because the truth is that if you lose money to one of these fraudulent operations, the chances are you aren't going to get it back. So it's really important that people know how to spot this kind of fraud so they can protect themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And Dave and Stevens Point, your turn. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for the show.
Sure thing.
Say, I got a quick question. When you go to credit report, annualrecreditreport.com, how long does it take for your credit to change? We recently had an incident that the phone company messed up some billing procedures, and I'm just curious. I warned them, telling them that if my credit report changes because of your errors, I'd like to follow up on that quickly. If it changes, you know, if it takes a week, if it takes a month, I'm not sure how long it takes.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's difficult because it depends on the relationship that the credit reporting agencies have with those that they're gathering the information from, who they're collecting, on what frequency things are reported. And different companies have different triggers as to when they'll actually report it to the credit reporting agency, because if they go through collections and have success, then they leave it alone, and others have different tipping points. So I don't have a good answer for you.
Yeah, it varies quite a bit. From the sound of it.
Does it make a difference? It never went to collection. I caught it the error before that. So would that have a result, or would that help things along, or not allow it to get too
far?
Yeah, likely not. You know, when I'm concerned, I ask, especially if I'm in a billing dispute, at what point do you turn this to collections or report it on my credit report? Because I don't want that impacted. How do we make sure it's still notified on my account that we're in dispute about this? It's not that you haven't received payment or I'm denying payment type.
Right.
And get that in writing from the company then.
Okay.
Yeah, very good. Thank you very much for calling. Susan emailed to say she works for unemployment, and she wants to remind people that government websites and in .gov, she has heard from a claimant that a fake site requested her credit card number so they could deposit her money. She ended up with charges on her card. Unemployment sends their own card and will never ask for your card number. So that's something good to keep in mind. Thanks for that, Susan. And let's see. We've got the top 10. We've still got a few more to go. We had home improvement is number 5. We had gas pump accuracy as number 6. We had motor vehicle repair as number 7. And motor vehicle sales as number 8. This is on the top 10 complaint list. And computer and equipment, number 9. So those are the ones we haven't spoken about. And I'm looking, and home improvements dropped a little bit. Gas pump accuracy went up a little bit, but probably not significant increase. Vehicle repairs down slightly, and motor vehicle sales, new and used, down slightly. So you like to think that's positive, Sandy.
Yeah, home improvement is usually somewhere on the list, and you think about how much money a home improvement project involves. It's not unusual that there would be some communication and conflict there. But 383 complaints for the entire state in a year, I think that's a pretty good record overall for the home improvement industry. But what's most important there is that as a consumer or homeowner, you do your research in advance and perform your due diligence in getting references from friends and neighbors who they've had good success with, and then make sure you get everything in writing with the home improvement business. Don't rely on oral, verbal agreements. Get everything in writing.
And on gas pumps, I think the one thing was the stealing credit card numbers. This was not the fault of the gas station itself, but somebody actually placing that.
Yeah, that's... did the consumer get what they paid for?
Yeah.
It's the fuel quality. Was the octane represented correctly? And it's also the skimmers and people complaining about those.
So there's always something, isn't there?
Well, there is.
You haven't worked yourself out of your job yet.
We hope that will happen someday, but I don't think it will.
Oh, yeah. Well, you will be back on March 2nd, and so we'll look forward to this once again. Thank you both so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Larry.
Again, that number, if to file a complaint or ask a question, 1-800-422-7128, or you can go online to datcp.wi.gov. Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen back on March 2nd. Taking a look at tomorrow, it's Garden Talk. Brian Huddleston will be back to talk about pruning and answering your garden questions, so I hope you'll join us for that. And we'll talk about Garden Expo as well with him. He and I will be together there. Stay with us. Lots in store.